This has to be one of my favorite stories in the Bible, probably yours as well. I know that when I was growing up at Zion Lutheran Church in Blackford, Missouri, all the kids in the Sunday school class, as well as at our little Lutheran school, would practice this all the time. All the time. Because there was always a bully in the neighborhood, or maybe on the playground, or all of us, for the most part, had older brothers that we looked at as Goliath. And so we had our little dime store slingshots, you know, the ones that look kind of like a Y. You could make one out of a stick, little bungee cord, little leather patch. You got your smooth, round stone. And then you would point it at that bully, at that older brother. And then when your mother wasn't looking, you'd actually shoot it at him. No, of course, we didn't do that. We'd only shoot the dog. Don't do that, though, either. You know, just because you heard it in church doesn't mean you can do it. But we love the story because the underdog always wins. And that's what we hear from the pulpit, and that's what we see in the movies, isn't it? Think of all the movies that you've watched. You know, good overcomes evil, or the scrubby little bunch of football players that everyone else has rejected goes on and they beat the arrogant state champions to a pulp. I love those movies, you know, like Facing the Giants and Remember the Titans. Rocky, we could all dance up on the steps this morning like Rocky did in the movie, right? And dance around, I don't know. Right? We could do that, right? Wouldn't that be great? We could, you know, that's about all the steps I can get up, but we could do all that. It would be great. And it seems like, you know, David always wins. But here's the problem. The story's all wrong. We've got it all wrong. The lessons that we learn from the story is not that the underdog always wins. Or at least we shouldn't get that from the story. So today, we're going to look at the real life lessons from David facing Goliath. And it begins with this. Sorry to burst your bubble. David isn't the underdog. Now, this is hard for me to say because I love the underdog, especially when it comes to sports. I'm always rooting for those that don't seem like they can win. There's at least three reasons, probably more, why David is not the underdog. First of all, he's prepared. He's prepared for the battle. Look at the Bible verse there. This comes later in 1 Samuel 17. I hope you go home and read the entire story. You know, we hear it. We've heard it in Sunday school and in church. But go back and read the whole thing. Later on, words of David. When a lion or bear comes and carries off a sheep from the flock, remember he's a shepherd, I go after it. Now picture this in your mind. Going after a lion or a bear and attack it and rescue the victim from its jaws. So David goes after the lion and he pries open its jaws. Anybody done that lately? You want to go to the zoo? I mean, even those old lions that have been there forever, I don't think I want to get in there and try and pry their jaws apart, especially when they're eating a big piece of meat, because that would probably be me. Then, it says, if it turns on me, which it will, I seize it by the beard. So he grabs the lion by the beard and he batters it to death. Lions I have killed and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine will fare no better than they. David's prepared. He's been doing this stuff all his life, killing lions and bears and protecting the flock. He's going to have no trouble with Goliath. Now, the second reason that we know that he is not an underdog is because he was true to himself. Now, Saul, he's the king, can't find anybody to go fight the Goliath. He won't do it himself, even though he has been the greatest warrior in the kingdom. Nobody will do it until finally David comes along. And he says, all right, wear my armor. Take my sword and go out and fight him. At least then we'll have something to properly bury you in. But look what happened. Saul dressed David in his own armor. It's way too big, doesn't fit, it's uncomfortable, it's absolutely ridiculous. David says, I can't go out like this. Well, why not? I'm not used to them. I don't use this stuff. I'm not a soldier in the classical sense of the word. I'm a shepherd. I'll take what I know. I'll use this slingshot. Now, we have to understand that it wasn't the little dime store one that I used as a kid. These guys were good. In those days, battles were fought by soldiers with swords, but also by cavalry, chariots and horses, and artillery. People would shoot arrows and they would sling rocks. And if they were really good, I could hit the ushers way in the back there. So ushers, pay attention. 35 yards. David could hit a flying bird at 35 yards. He could hit an enemy all the way across the football field, 100 yards away. So here he's got a 9-foot giant standing right in front of him. Do you think he's going to miss? I don't think so. He uses what he knows. But of course, the most important reason, and what Laura shared with the children, David's not an underdog. And no one ever is when God is on your side. Now we need to understand this point. This is very crucial. God is not on David's side because he's the underdog. Now we love underdogs. I love underdogs. You've been an underdog. We love underdogs. But that's not the reason that David wins. God is on David's side because David trusts in God completely. David trusts in God. He's not afraid. He'll go out and fight the giant because he knows the Lord will indeed be with him. So the first lesson I hope that you will learn today is David isn't an underdog. Now, what is David then? If he's not the underdog, David is God's tool. You see, David is not the hero of the story. God is. God's the main actor. That's what this is about. And so, this is not a little story about little David who defeats big Goliath. This is a story. In fact, you can cross it out and you can write in. This is a theological statement. This is a divine truth of God's power over anything and everything that seeks to take down his people. Did you get that? The divine truth. God's power. God is in charge. God is in control. And I know that is sometimes hard to believe. Especially this last week, wasn't it? Hard to believe. Where is God in all of this? I don't know how many of you asked me this week, Pastor, where's God? How could evil prevail the way that it did in Las Vegas? Or name your city, or name your time, or name your circumstance. And it's true. Evil tramples on the good things of the world for a time. But only a time. It's only temporary. For God is truly in charge. God is in control. And in the end, he always, and I mean always, wins. And so our story isn't so much about a little shepherd boy defeating the big Goliath. This is pointing toward a much greater battle and a much greater victory. Not in the Old Testament, but in the New Testament. And my friends, that is why we have this symbol over the altar. Is that a slingshot, anybody? It's not a slingshot. What is it? It's a cross. David's victory points to a greater victory. Jesus Christ, God Himself, is victorious over evil and sin and injustice and all the giants of the world, including death. That's the message. My friends, if God has defeated the giants of sin and death, then when you face your giant, whatever they might be, worry, anxiety, financial giant, relationship giant, if God has defeated death and the devil and sin itself, then there's no giant in your life that He cannot face and defeat. So that's what we want to talk about this morning. How are you going to defeat your giants? Well, in the very same way David did. So we begin there. Remember how God has helped you in the past. Anybody, has God helped you in the past? Raise your hand. Anybody? Wow. God's been there. In the little things. And if He's helped you in the past in the little things, He will help you in the future in the big things. Secondly, use your tools. Just like David did. He didn't need armor. He didn't need a sword. He didn't need a spear. He didn't need a javelin. He used his slingshot because that's what he knew. And I have to tell you, people come to me all the time, and you can fill in the blank. Pastor, I can't do fill in the blank. I have a great dream. I have a vision. I know God's purpose for my life. Fill in the blank. Can't do it, though, because I don't have fill in the blank. I don't have enough money. We could all say that. I don't have enough opportunity. I don't have enough skill. I don't have enough talent. I don't have enough connection. Well, do you have any money? Well, some. Use it. Do you have any talent? Well, some. Use it. Use your opportunities that you do have. Use the connections that you do have. Use the tools that you have. What do you do when you're waiting for your ship to come in and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting? Why don't you go out and swim toward it? Use the tools God gave you. And then number three, ignore the naysayers. Because, my friends, they will always be there. And I mean always. Look at David. Who told him that he couldn't defeat the giant? His dad did. What, are you nuts? You got seven brothers bigger than you. Send one of them. His mom isn't even in the picture. What about his brothers? They all laughed at him. Who do you think you are? The king, hoping he's going to get killed because he doesn't want him to be the next king. David's dead. I'll be king forever. Even the giant made fun of him. What am I, a dog? You're going to fight me with sticks and stones? Ignore the naysayers. There's only one person that you need on your side, only one person to encourage you. The verse there. When others were speaking against him, David encouraged himself in the Lord. Who's the important person there? It's not David. It's the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. This is far more than positive thinking. Now, I think positive thinking is great. It's a whole lot better than negative thinking. But positive thinking alone isn't enough. Someone says, just smile and things will be better. Someone says, you know, the sun will come up tomorrow, and indeed it does, but is that enough? When you're facing your giant, I can tell you from personal experience that positive thinking is wonderful, but that doesn't change the fact that my son has been autistic for 24 years. I need a little more than that. If you're fighting depression or mental illness, if you are fighting against the demons of addiction, if worry and anxiety are consuming your life, you need a little bit more than just positive thinking. You need a foundation. You need something that you can stand on. You need the God of the universe, the one who said, let there be light, and there was, the one who has conquered the greatest of the giants, death itself. Someone you can lean on and you know will always be there. And finally, expect God to help you. I love this. David shouted to Goliath, you came at me with sword and spear and javelin, but I came to you in the name of the Lord Almighty. The Jehovah that we were singing about before. Yahweh. I am who I am. There is none other like me. El Shaddai, God Almighty, that God. For today the Lord will conquer you, and the whole world will know that there is a God. My friends, not Buddha, not the God of Islam, not the God of the world, not a little bitty God, not a stone God, not a wooden God. The real God, that God. That's what it is all about. The battle isn't yours. The battle is the Lord. And He will give all of you, David said, to His giant and all of those who fought with Him. And you can say to your giant and all who fight with them, the battle is the Lord's, and He will give all of you into your hands. My friends, we've been talking about transformation for 7 weeks. Do not be conformed by the pattern of this world. Don't listen to the voices out there. Don't even listen to the little voices in your own head. Don't trust it. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Listen to the Word of God. He is there for you. You are His children. And so tomorrow or this week or next month or whenever it is and you face these giants, remember the Lord's always been there with you. You are God's tool. And with His power and with His might, you can defeat any giant. Just look to the cross. Know that the biggest giants of all, sin and death and the devil, have already been slain. There is no giant that God cannot conquer. The battle is the Lord's.